In a world overrun with formula movies and lame Hollywood reboots, two brothers from separate mothers scour the outer edges of entertainment to separate the potential cult classics from the B-movie bombs. They watch the films so you don't have to. They are the Keepers of the Fringe.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Keepers of the Fringe. I am Derek, and I am here with the Bill S. Preston Esquire to my Ted Theodore Logan. It's Chris. What's up, man?
What's up, motherfucker?
How you doing?
You know. All right, how you doing?
No, I don't know. That's why I fucking asked.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Though. Well, I got a cold, but that might be why I sound funnier than usual.
Like Captain Kirk shit again. I have a cold. There's someone on the wing.
There's something on the wing. Ace Ventura 2, that's an awesome movie. Look it up if you haven't seen it.
Love it.
If you haven't seen it, then why not? We're back to our regular functioning show. I don't know if that makes sense, but whatever. We did not go see a movie this weekend, so we watched a homegrown. No, that doesn't make any sense either. So anyway, we're back to our original.
Back to format. The shitty movies.
Yeah. What did we watch this week?
Watched Immortal Kombat.
Immortal Kombat.
Fight. Get over here. Go over there. Where are you going?
So we'll talk about that at the end of the show. And that was fun. That was a fun one.
That was a good one.
But first, we got some other stuff to talk about. Let's start off with Sony is still planning on doing a Spider-Man spinoff film for Venom. The villain Venom, villain/good guy/villain/good guy again/whatever the fuck he is. I don't know. He's whatever he feels like in the morning when he wakes up.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel I would like to maybe see a Venom movie, but they said they don't know if it's going to be tied to the reboot of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but it has to, I think. I mean, how can you do
it? Yeah.
There's a way, but
they said they don't know if it's going to tie into the MCU with Spider-Man and all that shit.
Yeah, that's what I just
said. But you said...
You redundant fuck.
Shut the fuck up. I'm freaking... But you said Spider-Man. I said the MCU. So there.
My eye.
But yeah, so if they don't... What are they going to...
I don't know.
Then it's not Venom.
Yeah, like Spider-Man needs to happen in there.
Yeah. And they're totally not ready for a Venom movie.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to set it up in the Homecoming movie somehow and then shoot it off from there. Or if they try to just do their own thing, I don't really know how that works.
I don't know.
In a good way, I mean, you could do it.
Yeah, it's not the time for a Venom movie. It's really not.
Yeah, it's way too early.
I just don't see it going well.
But I do like Venom. And I'd like to see it. But
yeah, I'd like to see it. But I just don't think it's the time for it.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bad call.
More preparation and shit.
Yeah. It has to be set up somewhere. You can't just...
Like, you remember how we said, like, in the first Spider-Man series that Sam Raimi was doing? The third movie should have been about focusing on the Sandman, and then they should have slowly, like, had the Venom symbiote.
Yeah, let him maybe get the suit and stuff in that movie.
Give him the suit, and he fights the Sandman with the suit, black suit.
And then maybe have it end with it going on to Eddie Brock.
Right.
And then cut it there.
That would have been awesome. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
If you're listening, that's the way to do it.
Whoever you are, I don't know who was doing it, but those guys with the rights and things.
And the Venoms and the Spider-Man and the stuff.
The swinging.
And the swinging. So get on that. Do it right. They said it was supposed to come out in October of 2019, I think
it's 2018.
2008. Yeah, that's even worse.
Yeah,
that is way too soon, way too quickly.
Yeah, we'll have to see the Spider-Man and see if there's something in there that's...
Yeah, if they build to it somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm concerned about this one, though.
Hopefully Marvel is involved, though, and helps steer it in.
I don't know. Yeah, hopefully, but I don't know. It's not sounding like they're going to involve Marvel as much as, like, with the Spider-Man Homecoming movie.
Well, that's a fail right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would just go back to how they used to do things with the Spider-Man franchise, which, as we've seen, does not work.
The dark days.
The dark days of Spider-Man.
Well, actually, there hasn't been any bright days. Well, I mean, Spider-Man 2 was good, but...
Yeah.
The Amazing Spider-Man, not so much.
Not so much. So, I don't know. I'm not really holding out a lot of hope for this one.
Yep, but, you know, we have to see it.
Of course. It's going to, yeah, we'll see it. So, more great news from Hollywood. There's a... there was recently something that came out about them wanting to reboot the Matrix franchise, which...
I guess it's not a... They said it was not a reboot.
Yeah, that's... Then I saw that a couple days later. Like... They were saying something about the Animatrix and all, wanting to do, like, I guess, like, more outside stories or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
like
I heard something about Michael B. Jordan
yeah.
being involved. But then I heard something, they were mentioning something about, like, a young Morpheus story or something.
So
I don't know if that was, he was involved in that part, but yeah, they're probably going to do, like, side stories off the Matrix universe.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean, I really loved the first Matrix. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, the first and Matrix is awesome.
Then the first Matrix I thought was really good. and then
there was two more.
That was about it.
I
didn't hate, the second one had some good stuff in it, but.
Was it the second one or the third one that had the stupid dance party?
That was shit. The second one.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just kept, it just.
It had such a strong foundation and then.
Yeah.
And sequels happened.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I could see them doing that. That'd be kind of cool to do some, like, a young Morpheus story or some kind of other stories from the Matrix.
Yeah, like, I'm not completely opposed to it, but I don't really feel like I need it at the same time either, though. But.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves said he'd be willing to come back, so I don't know.
I think he said he'd only do it if the Wachowski brother and sister were involved or something. If they wrote it.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But like you said, I'm not, I have no real urge to see any more Matrix movies.
Yeah.
But whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. Now, while we're on the remake train, they also want to remake The Fly again.
The Fly.
Again.
Again. That's a tough one, man.
The Fly, for those who don't know, the Jeff Goldblum Fly that came out years ago was a remake.
Yeah.
Of, wasn't it Vincent Price in the original?
Yeah, Vincent Price. Which I don't know if that was like 56, I don't know.
Something like that.
But
it was black and white. In the black and white days.
It wasn't black and white.
You sure?
Yeah.
There I go again. Maybe I'm colorblind. I don't know. Maybe my memory's colorblind.
I don't think it. See, now that you make me, I can swear that it's not. But now.
You might be right. I don't know. But anyway.
We do have it. We can go check.
But the Jeff Goldblum Fly was awesome.
I love that movie.
Yes, you do.
And I love the original Fly, too. It was really good.
Yeah, so.
I don't know. I don't think they can do it. I mean, maybe they can, but I haven't. I don't know. Hollywood seems to be so, you know, everything's put together by committees and everything.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
I mean, it's always been that to some degree, but I feel like more so, like, David Cronenberg's Fly movie is fucking bananas, man. The shit going on in that.
Banana.
I don't see them. I can see them making it gross, but not interesting.
Yeah. But it's more than about just about being gross.
Yeah, like, that's not really the element that I want them to focus on.
Right.
But that's probably the only element they could probably pull off.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that the actual story of the film will get lost.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way. We can make a better story, no.
See, there's certain movies like The Fly, like that's a hard one to redo. I mean, if you can't do it better, then you shouldn't fucking touch it.
Yeah.
Same thing with The Thing.
Right.
I don't know how you get better than The Thing. And they did it wasn't a remake, it was like a prequel, actually, to the original, to John Carpenter's one, because it ends where the thing begins.
I don't think I watched that one.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
Yeah, that's why.
And I guess if they first started off doing one of the practical effects, and then I guess the higher-ups didn't like what was going on, and then they decided to go all CG with it.
Oh.
And you know how that goes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a tough one, because that's... The Fly is like one of those movies as a kid that I loved, and it's hard to see them touch... It's like sacred ground.
Level, yeah.
Sort of. I mean, it's the fucking Fly, but I mean...
Yeah, but it's actually a good movie. If you're going to remake movies, remake the bad ones into good ones.
Yeah.
You know? Remake Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you can make that actually good, but...
Do ones that you can't fuck up.
Yeah.
Like they did RoboCop. I'm like, you can't remake RoboCop.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. Total Recall.
Total, yeah.
Which wasn't really a great movie, but I'm like, you can't do that.
Yeah. But do what they shall.
And I remember that list that you guys were talking about on Weeby Geeks.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the movies they're remaking. Yeah. It was like 100 and something.
Yeah, in the next few years.
It made me so sad.
Just I know, it was depressing. Like, oh. I was like, oh, come on, people.
They're remaking the 80s.
I know.
And making it shittier than it already was.
I know. That's the worst part. Well, speaking of remaking the 80s, but not in a shitty way, I can't say that for sure yet, but...
You have to be determined.
But apparently, somebody's been listening to us again, for they are rebooting the Amazing Stories franchise.
We said it, we mentioned it some couple shows ago.
We asked for it, now we're getting it.
That pony is as good as mine, my friend.
Oh, that poor pony.
It's gonna happen.
So, anyway, it says Patton Oswalt's going to be involved in it and a few other people.
Yeah, I think he's writing an episode or something.
That's awesome.
They said a lot of, like, comedy writers are actually
interesting. Involved. Very interesting. I don't think that means they're going to turn it into a comedy, but...
Yeah.
They could add some funny elements into it.
That's a tough one, too, because I'm like... I kind of rather them just do a new anthology series instead of... I like him.
Yeah,
I mean, Amazing Stories has got some pretty impressive talent behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't all like the most amazing, you know, shows, but.
I wonder if Spielberg's involved.
I don't know.
I hope so in some way.
But overall, it was a good show.
It was. It was a great show.
And I haven't rewatched it because I do have it, and it's still most of it holds up pretty well.
I have memories from that since. Good memories, like the story about the World War II plane.
Yeah, yeah, that one still holds. That one's really awesome. Good. It's like a movie because it's like, yeah. I think it's like longer than the rest of them.
Yeah, I think so. It was like in the pilot or something, wasn't it? Maybe.
Yeah, it might have been. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's the one that Steven Spielberg did.
Yeah.
You remember the one with the guy? He had made this formula in class or something, and he spilled it on a magazine, and he could bring whatever he. To life that it spilled on. Like he tried it's to make not, it, yeah. He kept trying to make girls, but he kept using either too much formula or too little. And then
I kind of remember that one.
Yeah.
Now I want to watch that again.
And Family Dog, that one.
Family Dog, I remember, yes.
I love that.
That one was awesome. Well, I don't know. That one I have a little more faith in. I think they could possibly do something good with it. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it's. At least better than the Shemalama Ding Dong one. What's he doing again? The Tales from the Crypt?
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tales from the Shemalama Ding Crypt.
It's like, just make your own shows. Stop remaking stuff.
Yeah, really. So, we're still on the remake path because now there's been talk of them bringing back Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but as a TV series.
Yeah, like, I don't know. The movie is whatever, but...
I don't understand that one at all.
How do you make a TV series out of that?
Yeah, it's... I mean, that was...
But maybe it's one of those ideas that is so bad that it's actually brilliant somehow. Like, put a whole lore behind it and make it, like, a fun... maybe in, somewhat in the tone of like Ash versus the Evil Dead, you know, like.
I guess, yeah, which that's an awesome show if you haven't watched that one.
Yeah. But that's one of those movies that's bad, and if they touch that, I'm not that worried about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I just don't see the point of it.
And I can't really see myself sitting down going, well, I gotta, you know, block out an hour because Killer Clowns from Outer Space is coming on. You know what I mean? I don't see that happening.
And I've never, ever, ever in my life said, oh, I could really go for some more Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
That never, except for right now? Yeah, that's never happened because you just said it right now. You hypocritical fuck.
Anyway, I mean, I love that movie and all, but it's for what it is. It's not.
Yeah, I was never like, what's that third clown's motivation?
I know, right?
I like to find out more about him.
What are the clowns really like on their home planet? No.
Yeah, I never gave it a second thought.
So I don't even know if I'll ever actually watch it if they do reboot it.
Yeah, I might.
We might have to check it out, but
yeah,
I'm not like, oh, I gotta watch that.
Yeah, I'm not really jazzed about that one.
No, but not jazzed at all. Not jazzed.
Takes a lot to get me jazzed, let me tell you.
And that, my sure friend, does.
Didn't do it.
So, moving on. We got some info on Matthew Vaughn, set up to direct Man of Steel 2,
a sequel. Well, I don't think he's... It's. I don't think there's anything, you know, like, concrete on that. I think that
right, yeah.
The studio wants him. He's like on the top of the list or something. Which I think is kind of cool because he's done Kick-Ass in a
true
Layer Cake.
Yeah.
And Kingsman.
Yeah.
Which are all good fun movies, you know.
And maybe he'll make Superman less emo.
Yeah, like it'll probably
I don't want
be
to
fun
save
to watch.
The world. I don't want.
Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me.
My daddy died in a tornado, and I don't want to do nothing to save the world because my daddy's gone.
My daddy. Oh, I hate that. That just reminded me of that.
Oh, sorry.
The whole, don't save me, son. Like,
oh, yeah.
What?
I know.
He's like, he could have zoomed in there, grabbed that motherfucker.
That was the stupidest scene.
I hated that scene.
Oh, I hated it so much. No, don't do it. You deserve to die, Kevin Costner. Well, not you, but your character did. Paul Kent.
No, you were right the first time. Kevin Costner must die. Kevin. We're going to say it here right now. No. I love that Dances with Wolves, motherfucker.
I'm sure he's a very nice man. Waterworld.
Oh, yeah.
Waterworld.
Die. He must die. Waterworld.
Waterworld.
Postman. Yeah, he's got to go.
He got to go.
He's got to go. I'm sorry. Field of Dreams, Dances with Wolves, and then all downhill. Untouchables. That was good.
Waterworld. So, I don't know. That's another one where I'm like, yeah, I don't even care at this point about Man of Steel sequel at all.
But at least that director, he's got
he does, yes.
His movies have energy.
He's no Zack Snyder. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But
well, that's another movie we forgot about that's coming out this summer too, the Kingsman sequel.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I think near the end of the summer, but
yeah, I think so. That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was just a fun ride.
Yeah, it was. That was wicked fun. Wicked.
Wicked piss ahead.
Wicked.
That's a real New England thing, man. Wicked piss of hay.
You know, it's a real New England thing. My wife and I went out for ice cream the other day to an ice cream stand.
Is that just a New England thing?
It was yesterday. Well, not a lot of people go out to ice cream stands when it's fucking 40 degrees.
I see what you're saying.
In the winter, man. In the winter. It was wicked cold.
Wicked cold.
Actually, it wasn't that bad. Wow. Where the heck?
Tangents.
So, you wanted to discuss, oh yeah, I saw the cool thing about the AT-ATs they're building for the Star Wars land and the Disney parks.
Yeah, they said they're full-size AT-ATs.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know if you can like do anything with them, like go in it or anything, but
well, maybe. We were talking to Mike from Wookiee Radio last night when I was recording Wookiee Radio, and he said they built a structure into it for people to, like, if somebody gets stuck in there to get them out. So,
oh.
So it could be a ride. It could be something cool like that. Or you could just be able to go inside and see a real AT-AT. But I think it will be something.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Let me tell you what I want to do if I ever have a lot of money.
I'm afraid to ask.
It doesn't involve the ponies. I would like to build a life-size model of the Millennium Falcon live in that shit.
Well, that's different, yeah. But I heard they might be doing that, too.
Yeah, I heard
something about building a Millennium Falcon.
But imagine if that was your house.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, the Millennium Falcon.
That would be so cool.
You sit there. That would be so awesome. Instead of the kitchen, all that stuff. I would totally love that.
Totally. Well, I've always wanted to build a life-size Yoda. So, puppet that I could bring my...
Sarai. You drink a glass of water. Sarai, what are you going to do with the Yoda puppet?
I don't know. Play with it. So, anyway, we got...
I think we should discuss this further.
I don't want to make a Yoda puppet. I get to go to the store and buy one.
Oh, sidecar to everything right now.
Sidecar.
Last episode, you were talking about a zombie movie, and I was like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I remembered what it is.
Ah.
It's Return of the Living Dead.
Ah, yeah.
Which I have to mention, just because that's another awesome zombie movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody should see that one.
That was a crazy one.
I love that movie. That's one of my favorites.
See, man, I know I wasn't crazy.
Yeah, but some reason I totally forgot that we watched that together.
I know. That's what I'm like. You know, the one we watched, I don't remember. The one with the teenagers zombies and the teenagers and the stuff like, happened. Yeah. And it was in the 80s. Oh, sure, yeah, okay, yeah.
That's a lot of movies. But just...
Return of the Living Dead, it was.
Return of the Living Dead.
Return of the Living Dead.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was fun.
I just wanted to make...
It was definitely 80s, though.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Okay. I just had to throw that in.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So, I saw this article on Screen Rant that I would like to discuss. It's the 15 most uncomfortable movies to sit through, which means we at some point will have to sit through them. Possibly.
I probably have seen.
Well, I think there's one that we both have talked about that is not on here. I don't think, if I remember correctly. But anyway, number 15, I know you've seen this one, Old Boy.
Old Boy. Well, I could sit through that again, but it's got some fucked up shit going on in it. Is it the Will Smith one, or are they talking about the original one?
No, the South Korean one.
Okay, because the Will Smith one would just be because Will Smith was in it. It would be making hard
There's
to sit
There's a
Will
through. Smith one?
Oh, wait, is it not Will Smith? Is it? No.
I think it's Josh. What are you talking about, Willis?
I think it's Josh Brolin or something, right? They did a remake.
I could totally see how you could get Will Smith and Josh Brolin.
They're like the same motherfucker to me. I think there was originally talk about Will Smith or something.
Oh, maybe.
But I think Josh Brolin is. But I didn't. I had no interest in seeing it though. But
this they're talking about the original.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up, man. Because I did. I was that was on the list of shit that I was gonna watch with you. There's a couple scenes that are like, ooh. Like anytime anybody does anything with teeth.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, like, that freaks me out.
I kind of like to see that, though.
And then, like, the whole reveal point later on in the movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up. I won't ruin it. But, yeah, that's a good one, though. I could.
Well, we'll have to watch it then.
Yeah, that's a rewatchable one, I think.
Cool. Number 14, Dogtooth. Have you heard of that
one? Dogtooth. No.
No. You're like, Dogtooth, have you heard of it? No.
Is that newer or I don't know?
It is 2009.
Oh.
It's a Greek film.
Oh.
This Greek film is a disturbing, uncomfortable glimpse into a husband and wife that choose to shelter their children from the outside world. Now, there's a picture of a guy. He's all bloody, so.
Things end badly, I'm assuming.
I am assuming. We may have to check that one out. Oh, here's one. Remember this, kids? Remember kids? Oh,
yeah.
Every time I think of kids, all I can remember is that homeless guy on his skateboard.
Yeah, I remember. Where did we went out of town to see that with a couple of people.
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah, like it's not, I mean, not to laugh because the guy, he was a homeless guy on a skateboard and he had no legs.
Right.
And it just throws you off because he had a Kiss Me I'm Irish shirt on too. So he's just like wheeling himself around on the, like, I think they were on the subway, right?
Yeah. And he just kept chanting, I have no legs.
Yeah. He was like shaking his little change cup. I have no legs. I have no legs.
It was just weird.
It was really weird.
Yeah. But that movie was a little, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I don't know if it was like shocking, like, but I don't really want to watch it again,
though. Yeah. But. I don't really remember much else about it other than that.
I have no legs. Yeah. And that was one time that we were in the theater and we started dying. And I felt bad.
I know.
Because I think we're the only people laughing, but I couldn't help. I was like trying to just ignore it, but then he started singing it and I'm like, oh man. I tried real hard.
So, number 12 is Pink Flamingos.
Pink, that's a... John Waters, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't
One of the trashiest films in cinematic history.
I'm not really a fan of John Waters movies that I've seen.
Yeah, I'm not. I like him, but I don't know if I've really liked any of his work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was written, directed, produced, and edited by John Waters.
I have heard a lot about that movie, but...
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty crazy. Number 11, Cannibal Holocaust.
I have seen that one.
You have?
I have that, too.
Do you? Movie's about a missing documentary movie crew that were filming cannibals in the Amazon.
Yeah, I guess the real, like, point of contention there is that they actually, like, torture a live turtle. Like,
really?
Yeah, like, I guess they rip it up, rip it apart and stuff. And
says there's an unsettling rape in there, too.
Yeah, that'll do it, too.
Yeah.
Turtles and rapes. And
crazy. I don't know if I want to see that one.
Come on. Come for the turtles. Stay for the rape thing.
Number 10 is Salo? Salo? S-A-L-O.
Salo.
Says, another gross-out film, or Salo, it has a little accent on it, or The 120 Days of Sodom, is a disgusting movie full of sadism, rape, kidnapping, extreme violence, and torture.
Jeez.
It's about four corrupt politicians who kidnap 18 teenagers to torture, abuse, and rape them.
That's the whole. What's the whole movie's about?
That's what it says.
I think I've heard of that, the 120 Days of Sodom there, but...
Maybe, yeah. Crazy.
Jesus. What is that? That's not an old movie, right? It's kind of... Well, I mean, like, old, not like really old.
It looks kind of old. It also looks foreign.
Yeah.
But they don't list... a date on it.
Yeah, that doesn't really sound like a good time.
Yeah. Okay. Number 9. Right? Number 9.
What's 10? I think we skipped 10.
That was 10.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I feel like we skipped one, but somewhere in there.
No. That one. And number 11 was the Pink Flamingos.
Oh, okay.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah. Blah, blah. Number 9 is Antichrist. Antichrist.
Oh, I saw that one.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, that guy makes weird movies. That
Lars von Trier.
Yeah. There's one part which, like, well, starts off with William Dafoe having sex with his wife in the shower, and it's like full on. You know, I didn't need to start off the movie with William Dafoe penis. I don't know if it was a stunt penis, but I'm assuming it's his.
Stunt penis! Like,
that was kind of unsettling. And then, later on, there's a part where they're, you know, being intimate and stuff, and she takes a hammer to his junk while he's full mast, and it's bleeding, and it's not good.
So that must be where it says the film's best known scene involves genital self-mutilation and it's pretty difficult to watch.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, okay. I think I've heard of that actually. Well, that scene at least. Number 8, Shame.
I thought you said Shane.
Shane.
like the old Western.
Shame. Directed by Steve McQueen in 2011.
You say Steve McQueen?
That's what it says, Steve McQueen. Oh. I don't think it's the same Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Got an NC-17 rating.
Huh. I remember that one. I never remember hearing of that one.
It proudly pushes viewers into the unsettling scope and domain of sex and pornography. It revolves around a man named Brandon, played by Michael Fassbender, and his addiction to sex. He has sex with prostitutes, strangers, addicted to pornography and masturbation. He has trouble functioning with emotions, choosing to settle his feelings through sex rather than dealing with the problems at hand.
Isn't that like society in general?
Kinda, yeah. I was gonna say. But this is an in-depth look into society. Number 7, happiness.
Well, it sounds positive.
Sure.
What happens? Something awful.
Controversial and full of depraved comedy. Oh, well, there you go. Sounds like our kind of movie. Happiness throws up a plethora of dark humor and uncomfortable situations as the film's characters attempt to find true happiness.
Huh. It sounds
nice.
I might be able to do that one.
It just sounds... Oh, okay.
I like dark humor, but...
Take the character of Bill, for example. What makes him truly happy is preying on little boys. He's a pedophile in the movie. And we watch him rape to find his true self. Okay.
What? He's raping little boys?
Apparently. There's also Alan, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, really?
Who tries finding out how to break out of his normal, boring routine and find lust. He ends up touching himself over the phone with a woman he's attracted to, but too afraid of pursuing. Interesting. Okay.
Come on.
That didn't sound as... Number 6, Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
I have never actually seen that.
You know, I liked it, but it's definitely a movie that you don't really want to watch again.
Yeah. Well, that's the...
Give you a good example. This director, in general, has this... He takes something that sounds, you know, enticing, and then knows how to not to ruin it. Like, the end of the movie kind of ends with... what's the actress's name? You know, she was in Labyrinth and the Hulk movie. And it's totally
Jennifer
gone.
Jennifer Connelly.
They wow. have, like, she's in a club and she's doing a dildo show thing. Which you're like, hey, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. But in the context of the movie and the way it is, it's a bad thing.
Really?
And you're like, I don't want to watch it. And the movie is just very sad and depressing. And it's not a bad movie, but it's definitely one that I'm not really geared up to watch again.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's one I know you're familiar with. Number 5 is Eraserhead.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
I don't think I have.
That's a weird-ass movie.
I've heard.
It's weird. I'm not a big fan of David Lynch movies.
Yeah, I'm kind of iffy on him.
But I kind of like that one.
Really?
It's just very bizarre. Like, I like that one in Elephant Man.
Oh, yeah.
And that might be it. One of Dune, sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
But yeah, I think that's a good one, though.
Number 4, Bad Lieutenant. With Harvey Keitel.
You know, I feel like I have seen it, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, it's like a bad cop movie.
Yeah, like in the 90s, right? Early 90s?
I think so, yeah.
I think the only thing I remember, I think it goes full frontal in there, and I'm like, I don't really need that.
Nobody really needs that. Nobody.
If that's the same movie, I don't know.
Now, number 3 is a movie I have actually seen. It's called Teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's an odd fucking movie.
Yeah. What'd they call it? What she had?
I don't remember.
But yeah, she had... Teeth in her...
Vagina.
Her
vajayjay.
Oh. Yeah. That was a...
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I thought it was a pretty good movie overall, though.
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
And I have seen it a couple weird. Times, so it's not...
But...
But the end part is...
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we won't tell you. But.
It's an odd movie. But interesting, but odd. Very odd.
Yeah.
Number 2 is a movie called Gummo.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Have you? It's by the same guy who wrote Kids. But he directed this one.
Huh.
Weird. I don't know. Sounds weird.
Yeah, I don't really have any opinion on it.
It's a tale of nihilistic characters who survived a devastating tornado and not much else. Weird. And the number one most uncomfortable movie to sit through is Martyrs. 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 Oh, Martyrs.
I've seen that.
Directed by Pascal Laugier in 2008. A story of two girls who uncover a mysterious underground philosophical society that wishes to uncover the secrets of the afterlife by creating martyrs, torturing people to their very limits, and inflicting horrors on them.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. I mean, just a lot of, I don't know, just squeamish or...
Yeah.
You know, I think there was skinning people alive. And
yeah, they do mention that in here.
Yeah.
There's something about... woman gets skinned alive and survives, and we watch her suffering. That's weird.
It's weird.
That's pretty messed up.
It is pretty messed up.
But there is one movie that's not on this list that we've talked about that we've never actually watched.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to do it.
What's that movie?
A Serbian film, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like some. I remember at we used to have a movie stop around here, and there was a guy that worked there, and we were talking, you know, we talked about scary movies and stuff, but he told me about that movie, and I'm like, he was like, I know he built it up so much that it made me want to see it, because he was like, it's, don't see it, man, you know, like it was like taboo to see it. But
it's pretty messed up from what you've described.
Yeah, I've heard I've heard little things about it, and I'm like, it sounds, I don't know what the actual point of the movie is, but there's some fucked up shit going on in that movie.
And it just keeps getting more and more depraved, I guess, as it goes on.
Yeah, like I think it's initially about trying to uncover some weird secret underground sex ring thing or something.
Yeah.
And the guy investigating it, I think, gets all roped up in it, and they just have some really fucked up shit going on. And I can't bring myself to watch it. I was trying to get him to watch it with me, but
we both, I know, we're like,
I don't want to watch it by myself. We're like, wussies. It sounds messed up, though. I'm like, I don't know if I can do it.
I know. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. So that's it for that one. But we did have another list that was kind of interesting on Goliath.com. And I wanted to see what your thoughts are on any of these. This is 10 obscure sci-fi films worth seeking out. Let's see if we've heard of any of these. Number 10, Time After Time.
I have that.
Came out in 1979. Ah, cool.
They're actually making a show of that, or they are, or they did, or I don't.
Yeah. Something. Yes. That's right. That's the one about H.G. Wells coming, traveling through time with Jack the Ripper and all that. Like
chases Jack
the Ripper. Right. Yeah, they're doing it as a TV show.
Do you remember that movie? Because I think you've
kind
seen
of,
it.
Yeah.
I think it has Mary Steenburgen. Flergen Hergen.
Yeah, I kind of remember that one.
And Andy McDowell. No, not Andy.
Roddy? No.
No.
One of the McDowell clan.
Wait, is it Andy? Or is that... I totally lost what his name is. I'm ashamed on that.
I know, right? Malcolm. Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, because Andy, that's the woman. And then...
Yes. Right? Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, I feel this. Sorry, Malcolm.
I know, right? How can we? We'll just chalk it up to our bad memories.
A lot of pot, short-term memory.
Bad
memory.
Memory. number 9, Primer, came out in 2004.
I have that too.
Do you? Oh, we'll have to check that out then.
I can't remember if I watched it or not though. But
number 8, Slipstream.
Oh, I have that.
1989.
That's with Mark Hamill and Mighty Bill Paxton.
Yes, I see that. Yes, there's a picture, poster. Cool.
So the copy I have is so wicked shitty, though.
Well, that's part of the fun, ain't it? Number 7, Stalker, came out in 1979. Made by Russian master Andrei Tarkovsky.
I'm not also familiar with Solaris. That one. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, Solaris.
Solaris.
That's hilarious.
Number 6, No Blade of Grass, 1970. It's looks like a kind of a dystopian future film.
Yeah, well, it's a couple good ones there to remember.
Yeah. Number 5, The Blood of Heroes, came out in 89. Oh, Rutger Hauer.
Rutger Hauer.
He's a treasure.
He's something.
He's a number four.
He's got some good.
Yeah, he does.
Good roles, but.
I like Rutger Hauer for what he, you know.
Yeah, like I don't usually look forward to a Rutger Hauer movie, but.
Yeah, but.
Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk, yeah. He's done some good stuff.
The Hitcher. That was good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Number four, Alphaville, 1965. I've never heard of that one.
No.
It's about as intellectual a science fiction film as you can find. You're protesting against people who are obsessed with science and logic.
Huh? It's like real life now.
Yeah, really.
What year did that come out?
1965.
The War Against Science and Logic.
Mm.
That seems relevant to today.
Yeah, no kidding. Number three, Quintet, 1979.
Ah, I don't know that one either.
Directed by Robert Altman, starred Paul Newman. It's set in a wintry post-apocalyptic future where a new ice age has ravaged Earth.
Huh. That's some good ones in there.
Yeah. Number two, The Terminal Man, 1974. Same year I was born.
Terminal Man, that doesn't sound familiar either. I mean, it kind of does, but
oh,
I don't know if I'm thinking of the Illustrated Man or I don't know.
No, that's a different thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Terminal Man was written by Michael Crichton, who,
oh,
you know, also did Jurassic Park, Andromeda Strain, The Sphere! And actually, he did the original Westworld.
Yeah.
Too. Terminal Man stars George Siegel as Harry Benson, a genius computer programmer who suffers from seizures that cause him to act violently, leading him to killing two people. To curb his violent tendencies, he volunteers to have a tiny computer implanted in him that's meant to control his behavior. But he finds that he enjoys being calmed down so much that he starts instigating more violent seizures in order to experience the calming down effect more often.
Weird.
Weird. 1974. I've heard of it. I don't know if I've seen it.
That sounds kind of interesting, though.
Yeah.
Sort of.
The number one sci-fi film, obscure sci-fi film that we should watch is Dark Star.
Dark Star, I got that.
1974.
John Carpenter, man.
Yes. So we should definitely put that on our list.
I got it, so we can watch it.
Cool. Remember, I don't know why I just thought of this, but you remember that movie Ice Pirates?
Yeah. Space Herpes.
Space Herpes.
I got that too.
Oh, that movie was a classic.
I just love that movie.
So there, we got a nice little interesting list of movies we could possibly watch in the future.
Yeah, but I have so many movies already.
I know. It's in,
I don't even know where to begin. It is. It's a lot.
Yeah. So, do you have any recommendations this week?
Yeah, I thought I'd drop a couple, and a couple that you're familiar with, too, so I thought maybe...
Lay them on me, man!
On the game front, I was thinking of this game for the PS4, and it might be other formats, too, but Brothers!
Yes!
Remember the Brothers game?
That is an awesome game. I love that game.
It was really good. I think you can get it on the PS Store, you know, wherever.
I think you can, yeah.
And
it's definitely worth checking out.
And I just saw on Amazon that it's going for like $12 or something.
Yeah.
It's like your father is ill and you're sent out in the world to find, I think it was called the Waters of Life or something.
Something like
a
that.
A cure,
yeah,
for him.
Yeah.
And it's cool because you could each, I don't want to say joystick, but I don't each paddle controls one of the brothers. So the left stick controls one brother and the right stick, you know?
Yeah, which sounds really difficult, but it's not once you get used to it.
Yeah, like it takes like a minute to your brain adjust to that, but...
And it's basically you go through solving all these puzzles and things and...
Yeah, it's like an environmental puzzles that you have to work together to do.
And it's a beautiful game visually. Like this is cool part where you go through this area that was a battlefield for giants, so there's all these dead giants lying around all over the place.
Yeah, you have to like climb up.
Yeah, it was really cool. So it's visually beautiful, and the story is also really good.
Yeah, it's like no dialogue, right?
Yeah, remember? Well, yeah, because they speak like their own weird language.
Yeah.
But the actual story of the game, you get the story through their actions and their emotions and things. And it's a very touching story.
Yeah, and it. in the end part, I won't say, but I mean, they did this simple mechanic with the control that,
yes,
like it just, it was so simple, but it was so effective. Yeah. And like, it really like moved me in a way. And I was like, it's just weird. Like, you know, that's great when a game could actually have, have some kind of an effect on you or, you know,
I think
make you feel something.
It's definitely an underrated game. I don't think it got enough attention.
Yeah, it's probably like a 5 hour, 8 hour, or something, something that like range, that.
You know? Yeah, it was pretty short, but it was so. It's just, it's so good. So it'll capture you and.
Yeah, like I took a risk on buying because I never heard anything about it, you know. And I'm like, I'm really glad that was a good purchase. Like,
yeah, that really was. And then I don't know if you watched the commentary part afterwards. I did. It was pretty cool. It was interesting. There's like a director's commentary you can watch in the extra features, and it was interesting.
Yeah, it was a good little game, you know.
Yeah, so that's an excellent choice.
Yeah, that's a good one people should check out. And on the music front, I have to go change it up a little bit, mellow it out a little. And one of our favorite bands, Morphine.
Morphine,
the great Morphine. I don't feel like a lot of people. Like, other than me and you, I don't know anybody that likes or listens to Morphine.
Nope.
Or knows who the fuck they are. Or who they were.
Yeah. They're not around. But they were awesome.
That's one of my favorite bands ever.
Yeah. And actually, there is a documentary about Morphine that either just came out or is coming out soon.
Yeah.
That we'll have something to check out.
Yeah, I think it is out.
Yeah, I think it might be. I think it might have just came out a little while ago. But yeah, they're definitely, it's one of my top five favorite bands. Definitely of all time.
I mean, it's a drummer, horn player, which occasionally he plays two saxophones at the same time, which is cool.
I've seen them live and I've seen them do that. And it's
it was cool.
Oh man.
And awesome. The lead singer plays a two string slide bass.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird, but it's freaking awesome.
And his voice is smooth as silk.
It sounds like if Morphine had a sound, I mean, that's like the perfect name for them.
And they have great, some of their songs are just so awesome too.
Yeah, like that's one of my favorite finds ever. You know,
I love Morphine.
Yeah, they're great.
It's too bad. Their lead singer actually, he died actually.
Yeah, on stage, I believe.
On stage in Italy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. What was it? Was it a heart attack or a brain aneurysm? I can't remember.
I think it was a heart attack, but I don't know.
It might have been, yeah. But yeah, he died on stage in Italy one night.
Which I can't tell if that's a great way to go or a bad way to go.
Yeah. It's weird, though, because he didn't, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Well, he was like, well, he's probably like in his 40s.
I guess.
Late 40s. But I think he was a heavy smoker.
Oh, yeah, probably.
But they had like a very like beatnik-y kind of poetry, I don't know if I'm making it sound bad now.
It's not. It's really, but it's kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't really.
It's like jazzy, but a little kind of
a little bit
rocky in a way.
Yeah, I don't really know what you could classify.
Yeah,
as.
It's definitely.
It's like its own thing. I mean, it has influence of things you can tell, but
it's good stuff. So
it's good shit.
Definitely, we recommend you check it out.
There you go. How about you? You got anything this week?
Nah.
You slacking bastard.
Yeah. all right. Well, that will lead us to our final segment. We'll talk about the movie we watched this week. What did we watch?
Immortal Kombat.
Immortal Kombat.
Fight. Get over here. Where? No, not you. Him. Oh, sorry.
None of that had anything to do with the movie, by the way.
Fatality.
The movie stars old-time wrestler Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper, man.
Roddy Piper, who was awesome.
As usual.
He was an awesome wrestler and an awesome, not a great actor by any stretch of the word, but he was just awesome in all the, you know, the stuff he did.
Yeah, like if you liked him in They Live,
yes,
you're gonna enjoy him in this one.
Which, how could you not?
Yeah, that movie's fantastic.
Movie is awesome.
And a bonus, it has Sonny the Street Fighter Chiba in it.
Oh,
which I didn't even know that shit.
Sonny Chiba.
and he was fucking good. I had no idea what he was saying 80% of the time.
His accent was very thick in that movie.
Yeah. We needed a Chiba Whisperer because I have no idea what the fuck he was saying.
I don't know. Just like, what? Okay, sure.
But
I don't
even know. Kicking ass, and it was fantastic.
I don't even know if Roddy Piper knew what he was saying half the time, but that's okay. The movie came out in 1994.
And that's late for us.
I know, right? The rundown is Rowdy Roddy Piper and Sonny Chiba battle an army of immortal ninja warriors, which is really basic for what it is.
Yeah, that's kind of like just a blanket kind of thing.
Yeah. There actually wasn't that many. Well, there was a couple ninjas, but Sonny Chiba was. Sonny Chiba was a good.
He was great. I was like, I totally forgot he was ninja. In it. I was like, oh, nice.
I know, right?
And they also had Tiny Zeus Lister there.
Yes!
Which everybody knows who that is, hopefully. From Nose Hobart. And
I don't even know if he's.
He was in Friday. Yes. He was Debo.
He was also, for your wrestling fans out there, he was Zeus. Zeus, if you remember.
No holds barred. The Hulk Hogan vehicle there.
Yeah. So. Which
is awesome and terrible at the same time.
Yes. But yeah, it was a fun movie. It was definitely one of the cheesy.
It's a good time. It's a good watch. You got some people to watch with. That's the way to go. We were cracking up the whole way.
It was hilarious. It was so awesome.
With the story,
the weird thing about the story is they didn't really.
Sorry.
They really didn't get into the story too much. They just kind of gave you just enough to go on and.
Yeah, like, I don't know if we should give away the reveal, because it's the only actual reveal there is. But it's not even that good, but...
I know, right?
It doesn't really make sense, but...
Just like, whatever. It was, you know, just watch them fight and stuff, and...
Yeah, they were trying to make it Mortal Warriors, and... To what end, I don't really know.
Some Mayan thing where they figured out... it was just... Yeah.
Yeah, the twist part was you had to die before you became immortal.
Twisted!
But it was like some kind of a company. I don't know what kind of company they were that was behind it. Like, it wasn't even a government thing. It was kind of like.
Yeah.
They wanted to make immortal.
I think it was like a black market thing that they wanted to make.
Oh, like immortal mercenary things.
Yeah, and they could sell them on the black market or something like that.
And they had this one guy. He was in the second Mortal Kombat movie. I can't remember his name. Are you looking at the page there?
Yeah. I'm not sure which one it was.
But he was fantastic. I mean, he was terrible, but it was awesome. He'd always be like, woo, woo, like just making weird noises. And he had this weird... What, you got his name?
No, but the one... the one who was listed as just Woon, his name is actually Woon Young Park.
Oh.
But they just, in the movie, they just said, Woon!
Woon!
Yeah, that guy was crazy. The freaking...
He was like, ah! Weird noises. Like, he's like, just hooting and hollering. And he like kept smacking himself and doing like a weird cross between Michael Jackson and Celine Dion. Like, he like hit his chest and like do like a weird...
And he had really pretty hair.
He did. It was a little Billy Ray Cyrus-y kind of a little bit. The 90s!
It was...
But as soon as like the movie started and they showed him like pretty early, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be fantastic!"
I know, right? Like, oh, he's gonna be awesome. So Roddy Piper plays a cop, and he has to go to, well, like some his partner dies or something like that, or not his partner, but
yeah, but a fellow,
some fellow cop gets killed by the Michael Dion character. so he goes to like a Caribbean island to find out what's going on and blah blah blah. That's where they find all this stuff. And there's
the trail leads back to this company. What was it? I don't remember what it's called.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's very important.
And then there's a part where the movie starts off with them telling their captain how the cop got killed, and it's like a flashback. And
yeah, it was like that lasted for a while. It was like,
I know, it's weird.
I was like, the movie already happened, and they're retelling it to us.
And then Sonny Chiba got shot in the arm, and then he had to heal. So he was like doing this weird. They kept showing, going back to him in this like dojo where he's meditating and doing his weird stuff.
And it looked like the wrapped around my finger video from the police. I don't know. He just surrounded in dark with candles and he had the robe on and it was like.
And then he had a daughter that he had killed her mother accidentally, had shot her.
Yeah, he was chasing a perp back in the day and the mother and the daughter were walking and she accidentally got killed the mother.
Yeah, so he finally tells her and she's all upset. And then like a minute later, he's leaving to go meet Rowdy Roddy Piper at this island. And she's like, oh.
Yeah, here's the gun that you killed my mom with. Yeah,
take it with you.
See you when you're back.
All is forgiven.
Yeah, it was weird. I'm like, wow, you're laying that on her right now? And I'm like.
It was like when a little kid throws a temper tantrum and then runs out of the room and then 5 minutes later comes back in and everything's fine. You're like.
You know the one part I'm confused about? Because I'm like.
There's only one part?
Well, I mean, like, the mother gets killed, right?
Right.
And he takes the daughter. I'm like, does she not have family? I'm like.
Oh, yeah, I know. Right?
Did he, like, at that moment, take the kid so he wouldn't get busted? So this whole time she's been living with him and just
you're a witness, so I have two choices. I can kill you or I can take you in as my own.
Yeah, but I'm like, how does that work? The cop shot the mother and he's got the kid. I'm like, I don't think it's that. I don't think it works like that.
I know, right? I'm like,
did he just go, oh shit, and he called and said, oh, the perp's down, took the kid, hit her in the trunk, and then brought her home and just raised her?
You come with me.
Like, that's weird.
That is weird.
I'm like,
but that's just, the whole movie was full of weird things like that that were never really fully explained.
Yeah, you can't really think about it a lot. You just have to
go. Yeah, you just gotta roll with it.
Yeah.
Roll with the flow.
And they had a Japanese Kiss cover band, Ninjas. I don't know where they came in, like, near the end somewhere. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
The guy looked like Ace Frehley makeup on, sort of. This is weird. I'm like, where the hell that guy come from?
I know, right? But it was so awesome. It was definitely a fun movie.
Yeah. The fighting at first, it was like, it looked like it was in slow motion. Like,
yeah.
Like underwater or something. It was weird.
It kept, remember? Yeah. There was one part too where Sonny Chiba was fighting this guy and he went underwater and he stabbed him in the foot and then he just like flew out of the water and kicked him right in the head.
Like a fucking dolphin. Like,
it was like, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. Like it was so unnatural looking.
Oh man. It was hilarious.
But Sonny Chiba was on point. Like when he was fighting, it was cool. You're like, oh
yeah, he was good. Yeah,
yeah.
And then he kept throwing ninja stars at people's heads, and yeah, that was hilarious.
He just had like a steady supply of those things.
It was awesome.
It was really good. I enjoyed it.
It was. It really was.
I'm surprised. I'm glad. I'm like, we watched a shitty movie, and it wasn't really shitty. I mean, it is shitty, but you know,
but fun shitty.
Yeah,
shitty shitty fun.
Shitty shitty bang bang.
And that's the kind of movies we like, the shitty, shitty bang bangs. I
don't know if that makes any sense. Shitty, shitty bang bang.
It's a bad movie, but it's a fun movie. So ultimately, I say we are recommending this one. Check it out.
I'd say, yeah, I definitely would recommend it.
And if you can't remember it, you should. It shouldn't be too hard to remember. Just remember, Immortal Kombat!
Fight. Lazy-eyed fucker wins. That's tiny
list. Actually, he didn't because he went off crying at one point.
Oh, yeah. It was weird. Like, he had, like, this... He was programmed. He was supposed to kill Roddy Piper. And he was fighting his program. But the whole time, it looked like somebody, like... He wanted candy or something. They told him no. And he was just like, doing like this weird, like, I want some, I like, look like he was about to like totally have a breakdown.
And he was drooling and shit.
He was drooling and he
like
was
this big line of drool just hit the ground. Oh,
it was so fun. It was just so weird.
And then he just walked off like crying.
Yeah,
like
he's just stormed off.
I don't care to kill anybody. I don't want to kill. And then
he was just sitting there like pounding and stuff. It was so weird.
Yeah, and then the Michael Dion character came and beat him up, and it was just...
That's another thing. Like, I don't want to, like, they said they're immortal. But they fought, and then it looked like he snapped his neck a couple times or whatever. And then he just, I thought he was going to come back, but he never showed up again.
I know. So it was
like, oh, that's another thing. They figured out the only way he could kill him was to take their heads off.
Right.
So.
It was freaking Highlander?
Yeah. So there was like two main immortal guys. One of them got his head cut off by Sonny Chiba.
Yeah.
And the other guy, the Michael Dion guy, he just got lit on fire.
Yeah.
And he was just kept running around, but I'm like, he's immortal. He's not going to die that way.
I know. So he's like running around on fire. He's like,
so we're just like, cause even as the movie ended, he was still, as far as the last thing that we saw, he was on fire.
He's on fire.
And we just say like, just picture him like the next day, just, oh, just screaming. And he's still on fire in his house and just going about his day.
Like, and then weren't they like on a beach or something? So he could have just like ran into the ocean and put himself out.
Yeah, I think they were pretty close to water.
I think so. Yeah, they're on an island.
Yeah.
Just jump in the water, you stupid son of a...
This is weird, because I'm like, is that now...
But again...
Is he dead? Can he die by fire? You didn't say that. He's immortal.
You have to not think about it.
Yeah.
Just go with
but
it.
But I think they can heal, too. Remember that
he said... Yes, they can heal. Because he got shot a couple of times, and he just walked it off.
Yeah, so...
He walked it off.
I don't know. So he's just like the running around like the Olympic flame, perpetually burning out there, still to this day.
So, yeah. It was pretty crazy.
It was good shit.
It was good shit. Shitty, shitty bang. Well, I guess that'll do it for us for this week. It's been fun, I guess. So... thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Good night.
See you later.
If you would like to contact us, you can email us at keepersofthefringe@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. We are at KOTFR. We have a Facebook page. You can follow us there. At facebook.com/keepersofthefringe. You can find our podcast on the Weeby Geeks Network at www.weebygeeks.net. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And while you're at it, give us a rating and a review. We'd certainly appreciate it. Finally, you can subscribe to the Keepers YouTube channel for updates on all new episodes. That is Keepers of the Fringe on YouTube. Thanks for listening.
Like movies.
That's a good start.